Okay, Reg, how you doing, my friend? Thumbs up? Oh, middle, not middle finger, middle thumb. You're just so. Hey, that's okay. You know, you can't be in a great mood every day. I'm in a good mood today. So that's good, because I'm the guy that's talking and being recorded. But as long as you can hit that button and through the good feeling that you have today, it's aside from the, you know, as long as you hit the button and keep all those levels, we're fine. You know, you don't have every, sometimes we just have a little off day. It's okay. I can't afford to have an off day. All right, my friend, let's do this thing then. I'll give you the three S's. I'll give you the countdown. I'll give you a podcast, and we'll get this thing in the bank. What do you say? All right? Okay. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And of course, it's always important to listen every week, but it's also important to get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you hear, whether you've been listening to us for 5 minutes, 5 years, or even coming up now very close to our 10th year anniversary, if you've been there from the beginning, or you've just been there for the last couple of months, or even the last day, or today is your first day, whatever the case may be, remember, you can always go back and hear what we've been doing for almost the last decade here, every week, by going to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, and then click on the prompt for this podcast, and there you will find some podcasts that go back 2-3 years. They don't go back all 10. I don't, like I said before, I'm not sure where they're being stored. There have been some data center that's probably being, you know, going to be built somewhere in some rural area in Montana. I don't know. But for right now, at least the last 2 or 3 years worth are there. So go there, keep scrolling down and loading more. As I say, it's always good to know where we've been, so you know where we might be going in the future in terms of podcasts and stories and references. So check that out if you want to get a little background. Reruns are always fun. I love reruns. I've been spending my life watching reruns. So nothing wrong listening to reruns as well. So go to WGNRadio.com and go to that podcast section and check out the prompt for this podcast. We've been doing this, as I said, for almost 10 years, and now this is episode 521. Ooh. So, interesting developments over the last week or so. I'm sure you've noticed, I was a little surprised, to be honest, that this didn't cause a bigger stir. I know that it certainly got a reaction, but I would have expected this to have gotten a lot more earth-shaking coverage, and maybe because it's just the first toe in the water, as opposed to the big revelation that we were all expecting or perhaps hoping for. There was enough interesting information to pique the imagination, to pique curiosity, but I don't know if it was earth-shattering. And you're probably saying, well, Jim, what the hell are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you. Slow down. I got about an hour here. What, are you in a rush? What I'm talking about, of course, is the FBI releasing, by order of President Trump, from what I understand is the first of several batches or hunks of files that have been accumulated by the FBI, United States government, for decades concerning UFOs. Now, this has been something that has been dominating our cultural curiosity for literally 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And it's been exacerbated, obviously, by the introduction, as everything else has been, heightened by the introduction, once again, I know I say this almost every week, but you can't get away from the fact that this smartphone, what this smartphone has done to our culture is immeasurable. It splinters off. It has so many tentacles. It's amazing. And the UFO phenomenon has certainly been affected and elevated by the smartphone. And why is that? Well, because A, everybody now has a camera, right? For years, we'd hear about these UFO sightings. And people, and a lot of them were just, first-hand, visual witnessings. And so the people that made these claims and talked to authorities many times, they weren't really believed. It was eyes, it was vision, it was it wasn't viewed to be very credible evidence. And whatever photos or videos that were then also created, taken supposedly of flying objects over different parts of the world, they were always shaky or fuzzy. They weren't clear. The cameras weren't, people didn't have a camera with them. They didn't have, a video camera, certainly, and back in the 50s, like they, now, since the 80s. But even then, even when we've got video cameras and camcorders and things like that, they still weren't credible. They looked like they were faked. And of course, the government wasn't giving any kind of, credence or any kind of real, credence to any of this stuff, dude. They were always playing it very close to the vest. And so there were many people who made these claims, who had, access. Over the last 5 or 6 years, we've had whistleblowers who have been in the government, who have been testifying before Congress that the government has real evidence, real, credible proof that there are alien spacecrafts and even alien beings. And as I said, I think a lot of this has been exacerbated over the last 15 years or so, because now everybody has a camera. So I think we're starting to see more. We're getting more visual evidence and clearer visual evidence because now people have this camera with them. If they see this thing, it's not just witness accounts. Oh, were you drunk? It was 3 a.m. What did you see? Well, I'm not sure. Well, now everybody has a camera with them. And these are not just little Kodak Instamatics that are terrible cameras that can only take pictures like they did in the 70s of something 5 feet away. Now, over the last 10 years, there's been more innovations with the camera of the smartphone than anything else. Pixels and all this other stuff. So we have in our pockets some very sophisticated photography equipment that the average person never had before. We have much better cameras at our disposal at any moment than we ever had in the history of human civilization. And we can also record on them. And we don't have to have these giant camcorders or plugging things in. It's all in that darn smartphone. So we've suddenly gotten a lot more capability, the average person, where the sightings are not just based on what could be debatable human eyewitness things, which we don't always put a lot of credence in. Talk to any lawyer. Yeah, it's good to have a witness, an eyewitness, but you know, the prosecution wants an eyewitness, and so does the defense, because the prosecution can say this is an eyewitness who saw that person, and the defense lawyer can always try to poke holes in that eyewitness testimony, because it may be better than nothing, but we can always find fault and error in anything human. It's part of our definition. We're flawed. But now we are all carrying this sophisticated photographic equipment in our pockets. I mean, it's not a telescope. It's not the greatest, it's not some high-powered lens that you see some photographers have, that these lenses are 2 or 3 feet long. But it's certainly better than having no phone at all, having no camera at all, or having some of the cameras that Instamatic cameras that we used to have in the past. Now today's cameras are pretty sophisticated for what we are able to do, and so there's been more visual evidence of this. And of course, with the spread of social media, all the conspiracy theories that have always been floating around, no pun intended, which a lot of times were getting more coverage in crazy tabloid newspapers, which also added to the illegitimacy or the unbelief, because they were crazy stories and they seemed to be photos that seemed to be created. But now the question is, were they? We don't know. But, you'd see, the Inquirer or the Globe or things like that, that they were these trashy tabloids, and every week there would be stories about aliens. And the fact that those were kind of viewed as trashy, non-reliable news outlets as opposed to the legitimate kind of newspapers like the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune or the Washington Post or things like that, that also added to the illegitimacy of all these UFO things, because they would get front page news and they would have all these sensational headlines, but there wasn't a lot of fact-based. It was mostly eyewitness, and like I said, who knows if the photos were doctored and things like that. So the whole UFO phenomenon has always intrigued us, because we're still grappling with, why are we here? Where are we? Why are we? How are we? We've been grappling with this from the first day we came out from the ooze, or the first day we walked out of the caves. We've always wondered where we are, why we are, who we are. And so it's been a great mystery as we've continued now. Our space travel has begun again. We're going out past the Earth's orbit into space. We just went around the moon again. Plans are to land on the moon sometime in 2027 and 2028. We'll see. Fingers crossed. It's been more than 50 years. There's talks, of potentially one day going to Mars. There's talk about actually putting up bases on the moon. I mean, this is now suddenly beginning. There's a whole new interest and a much more aggressive plans. At first, the question was, could we ever get there? And now the question is, well, now we know we can get there, and so now what can we do when we get there? And so suddenly there's this heightened view of space travel. We've got these telescopes. We've got the Webb telescope, the Hubble telescope. We're seeing the galaxy in the detail that we've never seen it before. We're beginning to realize just how vast the universe is and what a small little speck we are. And so, of course, the smaller that our importance becomes evident, the more plausible it is that there is other life out there. If there's life on this one little speck, then why can't there be life everywhere else? And certainly, you know, the world and the United States has always been very religiously based. And so the government, I think, for many years, and religion, was afraid of how people would react, perhaps, if any of this was true. There's still no, even what the FBI and these first batch of files, which apparently, you know, was released on the website, videos and testimonies and things like that. I believe I'm correct on this. Like the website had more than 500 million views. Now that's an influencer. Okay, so clearly we're interested in this. And clearly there was enough information there to pique interest and to begin to believe that perhaps this isn't just some wild, long-lived conspiracy, that these accounts of flying objects weren't just coming from crackpots or people that were drunk or people that were a little crazy or looking for their own little importance and things like that. Perhaps there was some legitimacy, that there are things flying around that we're not able to attribute or describe or understand. And these files are showing that they're not just from people out in rural areas or people wearing tinfoil on their heads. These are from military pilots. These are from astronauts. These are from very credible sources now that we've had this information. And so I understand there's going to be more files and more evidence released. This first batch was what you would expect. A lot of things that were previously released, but some things that weren't. Especially from pilots, from military pilots who are flying all over the globe at different times, at different altitudes. These are the people that we are trusting with our security and our lives. These are our most expert-trained, expert-talented people in our military, who are flying on a daily basis, who have seen, you would think, everything. So when they're baffled, then maybe we need to begin to question. As I said before, I think for many decades, there's always been a government hesitancy, because especially, you know, 40 or 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago. I mean, today it's different in terms of people with religion. But, I mean, you know, there was a time when people were still very attached to the teachings and beliefs of religion. And that has weakened over the years. Now, I saw something that, in these chaotic times, more people are beginning to come back to organized religion. We'll see how long that lasts. But my point is, I think there was a real sense by a paternal kind of government that, well, we really can't let people's beliefs, the people will go crazy if there is even a hint of this. Because don't forget, I mean, you know, if most people 50, 60, 70 years ago believed I would say probably more than half, if not 60 or 70%, believed in the story of Genesis. Now, I don't know. I would assume that that's a lot less now, just because of the way things have progressed in terms of knowledge and the importance overall of religion in people's lives. It's not as intense as it once was. And I think more people are looking to the possibility of aliens being out there, perhaps, as I said before, as we get more of a broader view of the universe with some of these cameras and these telescopes are sending back pictures of areas of the galaxy and the universe that we've never seen with our human eye before. It's very humbling. And obviously, the Bible stories and all religious stories, you know, talk about a very simple and very isolated view of the world through man's eyes and how the world is the center of the universe. And God created that, and there's no room for any other thing. You know, God created man in his image. I mean, that's what the Genesis story tells, and it says how he, you know, created the heavens and the earth and the animals and then man. You know, there's no mention of other life on other planets and things like that. So I really think, you know, in the early part of the 20th century, when all of a sudden there were more sightings and more, you know, questions about this, there was a real concern that if the government put out information that, well, we don't know what it is, there'd be widespread panic. It would maybe cut to the core of people's beliefs. There could be lawlessness. My God, wait a minute. If there are aliens and they're not in the Bible, then religion doesn't mean anything and we can do whatever we want. There'll be chaos. I mean, you know, they went to the nth degree. And so I really do believe that there was this paternal kind of, we only will let the people know what they can handle. And I know there's a lot of people who hate President Trump for a variety of reasons, and that's fine. As I say, I'm not on one side or the other here. I'm just talking objectively. I think even Democrats who hate Donald Trump have been come out publicly and saying, you know, it's good that we finally are treating the human race, and especially in our own country, our own citizens, not like children. I mean, at the end of the day, Donald Trump said, hey, everybody seems to want to know, what about these UFO files? And he says, why can't we release them? Basically, when he gave the order to the FBI to release these files, and they'll continue to be released, his viewpoint was, make up your own mind, but at least have some evidence to do that. Who knows what the heck's going on? I don't know if we ever really do know or not. At this point, it's probably too early. It seems to be that we are now seeing that, at least in these first files that are released, there are, as I said before, some credible people who we hold in great esteem and respect and trust. And they're saying that they've seen things that don't jive with what we have capabilities of. They know what capabilities we have. They're at the highest level. Astronauts are flying in the highest level of transportation that is humanly possible at this point. And so if they're seeing things that they know, I assume they know about every kind of thing that is being developed to some extent, or at least our capabilities. If they see something, you've got to start to go, well, wait a minute. I mean, for years it's been said that one of the Apollo 11 astronauts, Buzz Aldrin, for years was saying how he saw things out in space. He even made some comments that we never even really went to the moon the first time. As I said, social media has fueled not only you know, conspiracy theories about everything, but certainly about UFOs, the moon landing. Once again, you cannot deny the impact that social media has had. And so we're seeing more people coming forward, more educated people with evidence. And now we've got at least an initial batch of official government files about this very interesting, intriguing, and potentially, you know, civilization-changing information. And perhaps we're at a time, and we might be very lucky to be alive at this time, but finally it seems that the populace is now being treated with a little respect, that we're not ignorant lemmings that can't handle the truth. Remember the X-Files, the TV show? The truth is out there. Well, we'll see if it is or not. But at least for the first time after decades, centuries of accumulating much of this information, the American government is finally treating the people with a little respect. Like, you know what? If there is life out there, and I don't know, as I said, if more information is, maybe this, we're going to get this piecemeal, but you know, maybe they just want to get people, you know, slowly, you know, used to the fact, well, maybe there is, maybe there isn't, and maybe there's some really big revelation that we do have in some files, and maybe those aren't going to be released right now, but at least this is an important and interesting first step. We are seeing that there is some reason to believe some of these stories. The UFO files don't make any conclusions. They just say, here is some of the information that we have. Here are some videos of flying objects that we've never seen before. We don't know where they came from. We don't know who would have other countries would ever have this technology. If other countries don't have this technology, it's not ours, USA. It's not someone else's around the world. Then where did it come from? But there seems to be a heck of a lot of it out there. There's not only testimony from average citizens, I said, but now we're getting stuff from different Apollo astronauts in the various missions, not just from Buzz Aldrin, but other ones we've never heard before, of astronauts who you know, during the space landings and the moon landings, were seeing different lights and particles, and they were moving, and they were in some kind of formations. I mean, they reported back. They felt it was odd enough to get that on the record. And now that record is being released. And, I mean, as I said, you know, it's hard to tell at this stage. When I saw on the news that the first batch of files were being, you know, released, I saw it online and I didn't know, you know, these days you don't know what to believe. So I was like, well, is this real or not? I knew that they were talking about releasing it, but I wasn't sure if they really did. And I started to see some, you know, stuff getting released on the Daily Mail, which, you know, sometimes you kind of wonder about the credibility of that. So I turned on, you know, CNN, and I was, expecting to see, oh my God, there's all these new files and there's these pictures never seen before, and I wasn't seeing anything. I wasn't seeing coverage. I was like, my gosh, I mean, I thought this could potentially be the biggest news of human civilization. If there were files being released that showed that there was evidence of life, I mean, I didn't know what these initial files were showing. I mean, were they going to show that, yes, that there was a crash? You know, there's this famous story of in the 40s and 50s. Roswell, Arizona has made a tourist, cottage industry out of that. Area 51. You know, apparently, you know, there was a crash. There were beings that were taken into custody. I remember, I'm a big fan of the Honeymooners, the actor Jackie Gleason, who was a big UFO, you know, kind of follower. He claims to have seen the alien bodies. I think in his memoir or an interview, he said he claimed to have seen them. Okay, so I mean, in back in those days, you know, Jackie Gleason was the biggest, one of the biggest stars on television. He may have had the clout with the government to, you know, somebody wants to cozy up to the great one and say, hey, you know, you're interested in this? Well, look at this. I mean, who knows? Or maybe he was a UFO crackpot. I don't know. Well, I know we've been hearing these stories of cigar-like, cigar-shaped, you know, aircrafts, cigar crafts that were anti-gravitational. They were going up and down. They're high speeds. They were able to maneuver in ways that we have never been able to, that our technology is not able to maneuver a craft like that. There were talks of crashes, of retrieving bodies, of you name it. I mean, there's talk at the Antarctic, you know that the moon is a space base and is a satellite of some kind. It's not really even a rock or a planet, and the deep under the ground. I mean, you know, the conspiracy theories and the UFO theories are all over the place, and they're getting more and more coverage and more revelation out there because of social media. So perhaps is a way to combat all the crazy stories that might be out there. The government is saying, here's what we have, at least the first batch, and go at it. And, you know, and it's not just you and me that can look at these videos. And I mean, we don't really have, you know, a lot of knowledge. But what's interesting about it now is, as I said before, there's some footage and some information that has been released in the past, but there are some things that haven't. So for the first time, it's not just that you know, John and Jane Q. Public can see this information, but now you know, scholars, educated people, physicists, scientists, astronomers can begin to look through these things. And since they are experts in this area, perhaps they can start to shed some light. This is the first time that the academic world now will have free and open access to some of the information that the government has had. And we'll see if more files are released with more revelations and perhaps, you know, the big one. I mean, obviously, what I was surprised at, then finally on CNN and the other news stations, I was clicking around to all of them to see if they were covering this, because I thought this would be the biggest news of the century. But because there wasn't like the big revelation, it wasn't like, yes, here's a file that says that we found a crashed alien transport or saucer, whatever you want to call it, and we retrieved bodies, and they were put here. I mean, there's nothing that specific. This first batch of information and files is more about testimony and eyewitness views, but from more credible sources than we've had in the past, and then some videos, that some that we've seen before and some that we've never seen before. So at least the academic world can now begin to look at this from their perspective and their depth of knowledge for the first time. And I know, once again, a lot of Trump haters were like, oh, well, you know, this is just a distraction from the war in Iran. And what about the Epstein files and all that? Okay, once again, you know, I don't want to get into that. But it seems to me that this is an intro. I mean, we've been screaming for years. We want to know about it. And so now we have it. So why are we putting this down? I mean, I don't know why we have to politicize this. We're talking about transparency And this is a very obvious view of transparency. And you can debate the, you know, the motivations for it, but regardless, it's out there. But in today's world, we're so divided that even anything positive gets a negative spin from one side and a positive spin on the other. From my view, I look at it like our government, regardless of who's in charge of the government right now, what I'm very impressed by is that for the first time in my lifetime, and first time in a century, it seems as if our government isn't afraid to give us some information, and some information that we've been wondering about, and the information that kind of can cut to the core of our beliefs. I mean, you know, once again, I'm no biblical scholar, but talk to anybody that knows about the Bible, and you will know that in the book of Ezekiel, there are mentions of what can be, interpreted. The Bible is always interpreted, of some kind of celestial phenomenon. Ezekiel, they always talk about this wheel within a wheel. Or, Elijah had some, I remember the fiery chariot. You know, and there's even this question of the Star of Bethlehem at the center of Christianity. Like, what was that Star of Bethlehem? And so we've had reports of this dating back, millennium in our history. And, back then, there wasn't much scientific at all. There wasn't any real scientific knowledge or understanding. But in the 21st century, we have come a long way. And so now, as I said before, what's nice about this is that some real professionals, some very learned people, can now begin to look at this information and analyze it through their educated minds. And they might not have any kind of motivation except to get to the truth. So I think this is a good thing. Whether from a political standpoint, you look at it as, oh, it's a distraction, and what about these files? Regardless, we've always wanted to know. We have been obsessed with little green men from Mars since the 30s and 40s. I mean, let's face it. You go back and see the movies that were made and TV shows. There's always little green men. And my God, especially in the 40s and 50s, all the movies of invaders from Mars. I mean, I've always wondered. This is why, now we're doing a lot of, the idea of going to Mars. We've sent, different probes there and different rovers there to get pictures of it. And we've always been, captivated with Mars. All the stories of UFOs or alien beings, at least, in the 40s and 30s, we're always about Mars. Like, there's a lot of planets. Why was it always that they came from Mars? And now we're seeing that as we get these other pictures from Mars, these newer pictures, that they're saying that there might have been water at one time on Mars. There may have been some kind of molecular life on Mars. There may have been some ruins. We don't know. I mean, once again, today it's so easy with AI, especially to recreate or create these things. But my point is, the idea is, there's more of a growing theory now that Mars at one time did have some kind of life, whether it was humanoid kind of life or just natural life, nature, plants, something that's still considered life. I mean, now it's just this barren, cold planet, devoid of anything. And because of these pictures, they're now, once again, thanks to social media, there's these growing theories now that perhaps there really once was a there was life on Mars. And that perhaps, I guess there's, and I don't know the specifics, but from what I understand, there was some kind of a trace of some kind of a gas or element that is only existed, it only exists after a nuclear blast. At least to our knowledge. Once again, this is all based on our knowledge. But we have never seen this specific element or gas in any other condition except after an atomic blast. And apparently that element or that gas or whatever that is was found on Mars, which led to a theory that perhaps there was a nuclear explosion. Perhaps there was a thriving civilization on Mars. And perhaps it was, maybe it was extinguished by nuclear blasts. I mean, that's all we've been consumed of since the 40s with the development of the atomic bomb, and then using it at the end of World War II. That's all we've been talking about: nuclear bombs, nuclear energy, nuclear everything, exploding destroying the world. Well, if that could have happened here, why couldn't it have happened on another planet to another civilization? We're talking about us doing it. Why couldn't it have happened somewhere? We haven't done it yet. But maybe some other civilization, another planet did. And why is it always Mars? We don't hear about the Jupiterians. You know, we don't hear about the Saturns. Why is it always Martians? For some reason, in our folklore, in our knowledge, in our lore of this, in the story of this, it's always Mars. I mean, if there's another civilization out there, if they're able to travel to our planet, they obviously have greater capabilities than we do. So they don't have to just come from the next closest planet. They could come from the farthest parts of the galaxy, from other galaxies. But we're always centered on Mars. Why is that? And, or perhaps there's a reason. Did a story come in ancient times? I mean, just as we have Bible stories, could there not have been stories about another civilization? You know, I've traveled to Egypt, and I've seen all these hieroglyphics, and they and so I've been interested in studying about the different civilizations and the hieroglyphics of all these stories of these ancient civilizations. And one thing that is oddly similar is that in civilizations on different parts of the world, completely, you know, from Mexico to Egypt to Turkey to all these different places, there's these similarities in the hieroglyphics sometimes there seems to be these, carvings or something of something that might look like a spaceship, but what seems to be very evident is that there's a lot of godlike figures who are carrying a little bag, almost like a purse. Like it's almost, a lot of people have speculated, well, is this some great knowledge that's passed on? Now, once again, these are aliens, these are ancient civilizations who may have had this one belief system of which this bag of knowledge was similar. Look at it this way. In 1,000 years from now, if they start digging up the ruins of today, what will they find? Well, they'll find churches all around the country, all around the world, right? In even remote areas, all over the world, they'll find churches. And what they will find, whether it's Catholicism or Protestant or Methodist, they will find the sign of the cross. And to a civilization 1,000 years from now, they might not even know what Christianity is. Just like we don't know what these or 2,000 years ago or 5,000, we might not know. They might not understand. Just as like we don't know what these people's belief systems really were, but there seems to be this these common uses of symbols. 2,000 or 3,000 years from now, they might be might be a whole different kind of world here, and they'll be looking and saying, well, what were these buildings and what was this cross? What was that? They might not know the story. They might not get the story of Jesus Christ and Christianity. They might not get that information, but but we know that we leave things around. Oral tradition dies, but stuff hangs around. And so there's a good chance that 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years from now, they'll find all these remains of crosses everywhere. And they'll say, well, what the heck was that? And they'll hypothesize, what were these people 4,000 years ago believing in? Just as we're trying to hypothesize, what were these civilizations 2,000 or 3,000 years ago believing in with these little bags that these gods seem to be carrying? And they're all over the place, just like crosses would be all over the place. So we really, for a society that we kind of think we've got everything figured out, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. Everything is such a guess. And there's so even this information that's being released now about the UFOs, unless we've got some real evidence that will be released to say, yes, in fact, a spacecraft did crash and some alien beings were found and they were examined and da-da-da. We've got more information than we ever had before, but we still don't have, at least we haven't, it hasn't been given to us, the ultimate information. But as I said before, you know, there seems to have been there's always been these accounts of perhaps even dating back to primitive ancient times of potential UFOs in the world. Now, you know, we've got, it's not just UFOs anymore. You know, now I think there's something about, there's another, designation. I don't know, is it API, like something phenomenon or something? I don't know. But my point is that we're always coming up with different ways to figure this out. We're always looking for answers. And now for the first time, at least, the government is saying, well, here's a first release of some of the things. So look it over and come up with your own decisions, opposed to the government saying, we'll let you know what you should know. So I think that's refreshing in some way. I mean, think about I'm not a scientist by any means, but I try to think in a very logical way. And think about the fact that, you know, the Wright brothers, we first mastered any kind of flight in the early 1900s, right? And just 69 years later, not even that, say 20 or 30 or 40 years later, we had jet planes. And then 15 years after that or so, we had rockets going into space. How did our knowledge jump so far from something primitive? I mean, you know, the Wright brothers got off the air like a foot or so, nothing big. And within 50, 60 years, we were sending rockets into space. Now, you can theorize that perhaps, once again, did we get some reverse engineering? Did perhaps an alien spacecraft crash here sometime in the 20s and 30s and 40s? Did we reverse engineer something? And did that give us a whole new breath of knowledge that was able to jumpstart our ability to barely fly off the ground to fly into space? I don't know. But it does seem like our depth of knowledge suddenly shot really fast. You know, I've been to Pompeii and in Italy, in Naples. And this is a, you know, ancient Roman society. And when you see the sophistication at which these people lived, they had sewer, I mean, they're primitive, but they had sewer systems to some extent. And their living quarters, they had paintings on the wall, and they had roads so that, you know, the chariots, they built, you know, well, the aqueducts to bring water. But I mean, my point is there was a lot of technology. And we always talk about the pyramids, of which I've seen too. And how could they be so perfect? And then it seems like we had this, there was this amazing, you know, wealth of knowledge. And then it stopped. And it was almost like we started over again. So who knows? We don't know what's happened on this earth, to this earth. We have tried to create this linear narrative that makes sense, that we could all feel, you know, kind of good about, and look at how we've all progressed. But it doesn't really, in reality, the facts don't always seem to follow that narrative. But I think there's always been this paternal view by academia as well as by governments to say, well, we don't want to scare the people. I mean, at the end of the day, as I've said many times, the human species is one that is guided by questions and by fear. We don't know who we are, why we are, where we are, how we got here. And we don't know what happens when we're gone. And we live in fear of that. And we live in denial of that. And so many of the narratives that we've created play into those to make us feel okay. A lot of times we don't want to admit the randomness of life. We like to think that there's a grand plan. We like to think that there's, when we're gone, we don't really leave. I guess my answer to that is, though, well, what do you remember about before you got here? I mean, why is birth the ultimate knowledge giver? I mean, if you're saying that life is eternal, then that means that you lived before. And then you were born here into this reality, and then you die, and then there's a belief that there's something else. So shouldn't this be one big long continuation? Well, then if that's the case, then why don't we remember anything that happened before? Why is the birth here that moment of first knowledge? Shouldn't we have a knowledge of the past? I know that people go in hypnotic trances and they live past lives. I get all that. Who knows if, you know, once again, who knows? I don't know either. I'm speculating. I don't know what to believe. I'm looking at all possibilities. I just did a play about 6 months ago called Inherit the Wind, and I had a line that just rang so true to me. And I said it every night, and I enjoyed saying it because it really cut to me, and I tried to make sure that the audiences understood it and heard what it was saying. And it was like, the people that don't know the people who say they know the answers are probably a fool. And it's the ones who don't know, who can admit that they don't know. And that's what we just don't know. But at least now, for the first time in history, I think, we're actually getting some respect, some real information. And it's up to us to make for it. I don't think even the proof of alien life necessarily debunks anything that you may believe from a faith-based religion. I think there was a fear that this would, everybody would, you know, would, if there was proof of alien life, then people wouldn't believe in their religions anymore, and morality and lawlessness and blah, blah, blah. And the entire structure of human existence would collapse. I don't think that's the case. I think there's a way that religion can reconcile the, if it turns out that that is, that we've got proof that there were aliens, even though the creation story doesn't mention that. I don't think that our society will collapse because of that. I don't think there's going to be worldwide chaos. If anything, I think we'll have a better appreciation of who we are and a better understanding. As I said, the great thing that has always plagued the human race is that we don't know. You know, religion offers us an explanation, but it's based on faith. And faith, by definition, means something that doesn't always follow logic. It's faith. I don't think we're self-destructive beings necessarily. And so perhaps we've reached a point in our development, at least for the first time, that those in charge, those who hold this information, say, you know what? I think people can handle this. And I think it's true. I think we can handle it. As I said before, it would be the most historic information and revelation in human history. And if it happens in the next 5 years or 10 years or who knows, maybe the next 5 months, I don't know. But it's not so bad that we might have to rethink to some extent our reality and our place. You know, the Bible certainly puts man at the center of the universe. We might have to then rethink that, but I don't think that that it takes away anything from a belief in a higher power or a creator. It just expands the story. There's nothing wrong with learning something new, with expanding. People that wrote the Bible for 5,000 years ago, they didn't even have a telescope. There's nothing wrong with adding new information to elevate your story. But wouldn't it be an interesting concept to actually know that we're not some random mistake or some special divinely created thing that doesn't exist anywhere else? Wouldn't it be kind of interesting to realize that we're a small part of something bigger, and you could still believe in the creator story? You're just expanding that and you're adding more information to it. You can never go wrong by having more information. And so whether it's, you know, the X-Files TV shows or Invaders from Mars movies or Abbott and Costello Go to Mars or Roswell or Area 51 or is the moon a real, you know, planetary, celestial body, or is it some, space station? Are there people or other beings? We don't know anything. We really don't know anything. That's why people say, well, why are we exploring? We've got enough problems on Earth. Why are we sending these things up? They said the same thing when they were sending the men to the moon the first time. Same arguments. And that was, 70, that was, 50, 60 years ago almost, and we haven't moved culturally, we're still in the same areas. Why are we spending money on going to the moon when we have so many problems on Earth? They said the same thing in the late 60s. And here we are saying the same things again. We haven't really made much progress in the last 60 or 70 years in terms of any of our real problems that face our culture and our way of life and our poverty and everything else. But part of the reason why we're doing that is to find answers, and maybe not answers, but to just add to our base of knowledge. That's why we're sending satellites out. That's why we're sending out these telescopes that are sending back these images, the Webb telescope and other things that are sending back these pictures that we've never seen, to get just to add more information to our existing knowledge base so we can expand our understanding, expand our stories. A revelation of real alien life out there does not refute the Bible stories. It adds to them. It enhances them. It's still about a creator. It's still about making the universe. But now we've added something to it. Adding knowledge can't hurt. So I applaud the government right now for giving the average person, as well as the educated people out there, a little credit to say, hey, here's some information that we have. Make up your own mind. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is there. There's some people who believe in the Bible. There's some people who don't. There's believers and there's atheists. Okay, so now we have more information about the possibility of alien life. Make up your own mind. We're not going to refute it. We're not going to hide it from you. We're not going to call you crackpots. We're not going to come up with excuses. Here it is. The fact is, the government, I don't think, knows, and so we don't know. But we'll see, as maybe there's more information. Maybe the government does know, so maybe they're going to just do this little piecemeal for a while. You know, don't want to go right to the headline. You know, we'll ease it, but at least the door is open. Because for decades, that door has been shut. That door has been locked. It's been shut. You know, and I don't know, is there a correlation? I mean, it seems that a lot of these extraterrestrial sightings have began, back in the 1930s or 40s, as we began technologically to develop atomic weapons and rockets and different flying apparatus. Maybe if there are other alien out there that are perhaps just, observing, they're going, well, what's going on over at that place? They seem to be moving. Let's keep an eye on them. And then all of a sudden, there was Sputnik and satellites, and all of a sudden we're in space more in the 50s. And then in the 60s, we actually go to the moon in the 60s and 70s. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. The fact is, there should be nothing out of the realm of possibility, because we don't have all the answers. We like to think we have all the answers. We want to, because of our fear and of the unknown, we want to be comforted with some kind of story, right? Even, think about, even in there's a situation where, somebody's family member is killed or something. And what's the first thing that happens? Why did they do it? We always want to know why they did it. And very often we never get the answer. But people want that closure. They want that explanation. So even in that very isolated incident, expand on that. When the question is bigger of why are we here? How are we here? What are we here for? And are we alone? Expand that more. Well, don't we want the answers to that? So at least for the first time, those who have held a lot of this information, credible or discredited, for whatever reason, they didn't want to share it with us. And for the first time, they are. To the full extent, we'll see. I don't know. But at least the door is open. At least the viewpoint is, let the people in on this. Let them make up their own minds. I don't know if we're ever going to get a real answer. I don't know if there is a real answer. I don't know if there is. There are just, you know, secret. Maybe there are just really super, super secret technologies being developed by other countries that we just don't know about. But what we have learned, at least over the last week or so, is that there's a lot of evidence that we have accumulated over the last several decades that show that there are things, at least at this point, that we've released, that there are objects flying around in our atmosphere, over our planet, that we don't have explanations for. And at that, and that's, and that might just be the tip of the iceberg, but if you like detective novels, well then that's a first clue. So when what does that mean? And off we go. And now the average person, as well as the educated person, has access to some of this. And perhaps we might not get answers, but we might have more knowledge, or at the very least, a little better understanding. Will we ever get the thing we want to know? Yes, there are aliens. Yes, we have had contact. Yes, you know, we are part of a universe, and we are not the only living things. I mean, my gosh, as I said before, that's the biggest story. That would be the biggest revelation in human history if we had real proof of that. But we don't know, but there's nothing wrong with at least getting a first step into real, credible information from people who we view as credible witnesses, not just some people who woke up at 3 a.m. But who's to say that they're not credible? Those people that for years have been making all those sightings and all those reports, they might finally be vindicated after decades. So, it all comes down to, we'll see where this leads. But at least for the first time in history, it might be leading somewhere. To answer that question, the truth is out there. Or is it? Make up your own mind. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast, we are there. And of course, get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 521. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears. Ooh. E.T. phone home.